Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Project 2, Harold Kimball and Ann Fagan, interviewing Julian Hast, December 20th, 1985, at 5100 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA. This is tape 4, side 1.
Okay, Julian, we're very glad to be here to ask you these last questions. I think this will be our last visit. And we have lots to talk about. And I thought it would be a good idea to hear some of your views from your last visit some 18 years ago to Jerusalem. Whatever you want to talk about. What month was it? Do you remember what part of the year you went there?
I think it was in early summer. I'm not sure.
And you say it was after.
It was the year after the 67 war.
Good.
And one of the first impressions that you got at that time, riding along the various roads in Israel, was to see the amount of captured material that the Israelis had captured from the Egyptians and the Syrians and so forth, tanks and all and guns and all kinds of equipment.
Just to refresh the minds of those who are going to listen to these tapes, could you remember what that particular war was about? How many wars did Israel have, really? At least 4, weren't there?
They were attacked by the Arabs.
Was this the Yom Kippur War?
No, it wasn't. The Yom Kippur War was quite a few years later.
I see.
And this was the war which the Israelis won without having much help, if any, from the United States, which they did get in the Yom Kippur War. They won it cleanly, and as a result, they got possession of East Jerusalem, which had been in the hands of Jordan up to that time. We traveled around the country from the north. We got all the way up to the Jordan border, saw the, at that time, all there was to keep people out of the border was a long pole which could be raised and lowered. We went to Haifa and all the way down to Beersheba. I can still see the Arab women in the marketplace in Beersheba with their I remember walking into the inn, or hotel or whatever it was in Beersheba where we stayed, and on the wall there were pictures of Arab sheikhs or sheikhs. And I said to my companion, that could be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They looked exactly like the what you imagined the patriarchs looked like. We visited the hospital, the Jewish hospital, and saw the great stained glass windows.
By that famous
Chagall. One of the things that I remember best about our visit to Jerusalem was calling on Teddy Kollek, the mayor. It seems that when she heard that we were going to Jerusalem, Bessie Anathan, whose name is associated with the Anathan House on Murray Avenue, gave us a package and asked us to deliver it to Teddy Kollek when we got to Jerusalem. And when we got, after we'd been there for a day, we went looking for his office and found it in a little building. The office, I've often said, would have done credit to a police sergeant in one of our police stations in Pittsburgh. It was very plain, an outer office and a little inner office. And when we got there, we were told he had people he was talking to in the next office, and that in a few minutes they came out, and he came out, and we handed him the package, which he opened. And the package contained several neckties. And he returned the neckties to us immediately and told us to take them back to Mrs. Annemar, because he hadn't worn a necktie all his life, as far as we know. It seems that he and Mrs. Annemar became friendly when she gave a playground, I believe, to the city of Jerusalem. But she didn't get friendly enough to know that he had never worn a necktie.
Could you tell us anything more about the mayor, Kollek? Didn't he have quite a reputation with the Arabs? That is a good one.
Yes. I think that the city of Jerusalem and Israel altogether owe a great deal to Teddy Kollek, because he's a very friendly man and evidently a very good executive also. He's been mayor. I know it's now 18 years since we saw him, and he's still mayor.
You're right. It speaks well for him. This is right after the war with the Arabs, and yet there were Arabs throughout Jerusalem?
Oh, yes.
On a friendly basis.
Well, another story about Kollek is that during the war, there was an attack on Jerusalem, and one of our Pittsburgh friends living at that time in Jerusalem was Mrs. Falk, and she and Teddy got to be quite friendly. And she, when we saw her, one of the things she told us was that right after this attack by the Arabs, Teddy Kollek made a special trip to her home, which is in more or less an outskirt of Jerusalem, to make sure that she was all right.
Does she still live there? Do you know?
As far as I know, she does.
She's alive, in other words.
Do you recall any of the particulars of her house, which was, I think, in the Arab section?
It was, yes.
Can you recall what it was like?
Yeah. Well, some of the other places you visited, you were at the Red Sea, right?
Yes. Yes, my grandson and I went into the water, and having seen a picture of somebody reading a newspaper while lying on his back, I tried it and it worked very well.
Really salty.
Yes, it was.
Then you got to see close by the, the famous
Masada.
Yes, we went to Masada, and we took our grandson along, and he was young enough to go up to walk up to the top. My wife and I started, and we went about 100 yards, and then we turned back. It was 95 in the shade at the time, and we decided not to do it.
Um, Any other places you visited? What did you think of Tel Aviv? It was pretty modern, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. We went to, you know, Jaffa is right outside of Tel Aviv. And I remember going to Jaffa to see there were a number of artists there who were very well known. But unfortunately, we went on a Saturday and everything was closed. So I can't tell you too much about that. We did notice one thing. The number of people on Shabbos that were going out in the country instead of going to the synagogues.
Lots of them.
Lots of them.
Then what you're saying, what you perceived is, even in Jerusalem, the Jews are not as religious as you would think they
except
would be.
Except the very, the Hasidic.
The Orthodox.
Yeah, the Orthodox.
Are they a minority there?
Yes. But they have too much influence because they seem to be the Labor and the other party.
Liquid.
Yeah, Liquid. Seem to be so closely matched in numbers mm-hmm. that this very small religious party can cast its vote either way. And for that reason, they are much more important politically than they have any right to be through their numbers.
Right.
I'm optimistic about the future of Israel. I don't think that this country is ever going to allow them to be overrun.
Then you feel there's a great bond between the United States and Israel.
Oh, undoubtedly.
It will keep them alive.
After all, it's the only democracy in that whole part of the world.
Yes. Julian, I thought it would be very nice to talk about music because that's an important part of your life now, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
You still go to concerts, you do attend the arts. Tell us something about your past with music.
I started taking piano lessons when I was quite young and continued for quite a number of years, and I never got to be anything more than very mediocre. But I found out as a teenager that I did have a real love for music. I think we had an old phonograph at that time, and I got to enjoy some of the records that we had. But I still remember going to hear the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra when I was probably 14 or 15 years old. And at that time, of course, my knowledge of music was not great. I considered Brahms very heavy. I could enjoy Tchaikovsky because he was much more melodious. But we had a conductor named Emil Power, who was a rather stolid German. And I imagine that he had a good orchestra, but after all, at that age, I was not much of a judge. Preceding him, we had Victor Herbert as a conductor.
Really? You saw Victor?
No. This was...
Before your time.
When I was a little boy, Victor Herbert was a conductor. And at that time, of course, I didn't know who he was. Then the symphony broke up, and we had none for quite a number of years. And I forget who was instrumental in starting our present symphony orchestra. I know that Richard Rao was one of the people who was instrumental. at that time.
And Richard Rall Brow was part of the Jewish community.
Oh, yes. Still is. His mother was once a councilwoman.
Oh, really?
Mrs. Enoch Rau.
Yes.
I've heard music. I don't think I missed a symphony concert when I was in Pittsburgh since the orchestra was started up again.
Who was the conductor at that time? Was that Reiner?
No, Reiner came later. I can't remember who the original conductor was.
They had a conductor from Wheeling, West Virginia before Reiner. Do you remember his name?
No, I don't.
An Italian. Okay. That must have been what year?
I think it was in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I have quite a collection of classical records, probably 200 of them, and I enjoy playing them occasionally when I'm reading.
Do you have any memories or impressions of Reiner or Steinberg that you might like to share?
No, I don't. I remember Previn much better than either of them. Both of them were excellent conductors, not exciting. Steinberg, incidentally, was the one that seemed fondest of Bruckner.
And those concerts were all at the Syria Mosque, right? That's before Heinz Hall.
Yes. Yeah.
And they used to pack them in, didn't they?
Uh-huh. We were very fortunate. We started in the second balcony. That's where we, because we could see the orchestra there. Mm-hmm. And it was always our pleasure watching our flutist. Uh-huh. What's his name then?
Goldberg.
He was the one man that I watched more than anybody else. Yeah, Goldberg.
Do you believe the sound is better up in the second balcony?
No, but you can see better.
Okay.
Quite a number of years ago, my wife, my sister, and a friend and I took a music cruise on a French ship, and that was quite an experience. There was a group, a quartet, of which Philip Serkin was the leader, and one of the members was the man who has become the greatest clarinet player in this country, if not in the world. Damned if I can remember his name.
Huh? Philip Stoltzman?
Stoltzman.
How's that?
We got to be very friendly. His mother lived in Pittsburgh. Oh. And I remember once when he came to play at the Y, we stood out waiting for him to come out. Because we wanted to talk to him. We talked to his mother, but he never showed. But on this cruise, we had who did I say?
Philip Serkin?
No, the the violinist.
The violinist.
Zuckerman?
Yeah, we had Zuckerman and his wife. And unfortunately, he was not able to stay for the whole cruise, because he had an appointment at the Pittsburgh Y a few days after the cruise started, and he had to leave. So when he was, before he left, I went up to him and I said, would you be kind enough to call my son David when you get to Pittsburgh? And he did.
So tell us some more about the Pittsburgh Y. You mean it goes back that long, and they had these great concerts?
They had
people show up.
Well, yes. On this trip, we had Jesse Norman, who is now considered probably the greatest soprano in the world. So it was quite a group. We had the English Chamber Orchestra and a number of other very, very well-known people. And we got to know them. One of the people that we didn't get to know was the great horn player,
Don't tell me you don't know the great horn player.
British or American or?
No, French.
Oh.
I have his records.
I know who you mean, and I've lost his name too.
You want to turn it off while I look?
No.
All right. But that was a great experience.
So did you have concerts every evening? Was that it? Or afternoon?
Afternoon and evening. Okay. And we'd get to a place in the West Indies, and we'd all go ashore, and there would be a concert in the afternoon, and then when we got back on the ship, there would be another concert in the evening. It was one of the greatest, from the music standpoint,
yeah.
It was a really wonderful experience. I don't know whether you know it, but R.Y. has introduced to Pittsburgh some of the greatest soloists who had never played here before. They played at the Y. For instance, Rudolph Serkin. Mm-hmm. I could name any number of names.
Who started this?
Who played here
first.
Before they were nationally known, before they ever played with our symphony, the Y got them here.
And still do? Do they continue these concerts?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. They have very good concerts.
But now that the Pitt University is taking over the Y, do you have any idea what will happen with these concerts?
No. I think we're going to have the Y for quite a number of years yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wondered if the Philip Serkin you mentioned was the father of Rudolph.
No, the son.
Oh, the son. I see. And can you remember anything more, anything personal about these Jewish conductors that used to conduct the Pittsburgh Symphony, like Steinberg and who was the other one?
No, Reiner. Not Steinberg.
They didn't become part of the Jewish community, in other words. They stayed.
Not as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
what?
I feel badly that we let Previn go. I think that.
Was Previn Jewish?
Yes.
He was.
He was.
Yes, he was.
I guess he was.
What?
I have a record that he and
one of the violinists?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perlman.
Yeah.
Play. His jazz record.
Yes, right. Joplin. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Very good.
Do you have any recollection of people in the Jewish community who were really important in bringing music to Pittsburgh among your friends? You mentioned Mr. Rao, for example. Were there others who were particularly involved in bringing music to the community?
guess there were, but offhand it's hard for me to think about it. I can think of Lottie Falk bringing a ballet, but...
Yes, yes.
And while we're talking about music, a lot of people now, or in the future, may not remember that Sirius Mosque used to be where the concerts were given. And you lived through the transformation when it was switched to Heinz Hall. Yeah. Would you like to say something about Heinz Hall? How do you feel about the difference? Do you think it's an improvement in acoustics?
No, I can't. I can't make any judgment about that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think the acoustics at both places were good, but I don't know that one, which one was better than the other.
But it is an improvement in feelings, right?
Well, it's a beautiful place.
That's what I mean. Whereas Sirius Mosque was pretty cold looking. What'd you say?
I don't know. Sitting in the balcony, I didn't feel that way.
Okay.
Of course, we were usually surrounded by friends,
yeah.
Other friends that were sitting near us. So you wouldn't have a cold feeling anyway.
You're right. Strike that. Anyhow, Sirius Mosque continues to exist.
Yes.
And they do show plays there and still part of the community. Would you like to talk about what you prefer? That is, who are your present day composers who you like the best?
Uh-huh.
I know you've grown from Brahms, you say.
No, from Tchaikovsky.
Oh, from Tchaikovsky, that's right. So I'd like to know myself, who is your favorite now?
I've become very fond of Saint-Saëns' piano concertos lately, which I had never heard until a few years ago. I have the records now.
Yeah.
Of course, there's probably nothing greater than in the way of piano than the Beethoven piano concerto. The Brahms is wonderful. Tchaikovsky, of course, very melodious.
Then I'd say you have a strong feeling about piano concertos.
Well, yes, I'm talking about piano.
Yes.
As far as symphonies are concerned, I can't say that I have any favorite. I love all the Brahms, I love all of the Beethoven. Schubert, Schumann, all of them. I mean, how can you not enjoy them when you get to know them? The one thing that I found out in my life is that you've got to hear music to enjoy it. You've got to hear it more than once. And I try when anybody that I know is going to hear a concert, a program of which I have records. I'm delighted to lend them the record so that they can hear it once or twice before they go to the concert, because I know that they will enjoy it more than they would hearing it for the first time.
Well, we have a minute or two on this tape to sum up the whole musical background. Would you like to sum it up with a few words?
Well, all I can say is that music has been a very important part of my life.
Very good.
I wish I'd been able to produce it myself, but I certainly enjoy listening to it.